Now, without further delay, we invite Sheikh Ali Qummi from the Islamic Republic of Pakistan to address the believers on this Thursday night, with the topic of his speech being pledging allegiance to Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. We invite him with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan al-la'in al-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qala Allahu ta'ala fil Quran al-Kareem. Wa nuridu anna munna ala al-lazina astud'ifu fil ard. وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ Please recite the salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. قَالَ أَبُو مُحَمَّدِ الْحَسَنُ بْنُ عَلِيِّ مَنْ مَعْتَ وَلَمْ يَعْرِفْ إِمَامَ زَمَانِهِ مَاتَ مِيتَةً جَاهِلِيَّةً Please recite the salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Dear believers, congratulations on the birth anniversary of the beloved grandson of the Holy Prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Congratulations on the birth anniversary of the beloved son of Imam Ali alayhi salam and Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha. And congratulations on the birth anniversary of Imam of our age, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, the son of Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salam. Congratulations on the birth anniversary of the hope of humanity who will uproot oppression and injustice. For this task and mission of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, please recite another salawat. And last but not the least, congratulations to all the oppressed people around the globe, especially to the deputy of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Please recite a louder salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, with the permission of the senior scholars here, with my fellow Hosa students, my classmates, I would like to bring our attention towards this important issue that while our hearts are in pain and they are in grief for witnessing the ongoing genocide and the ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people at the hands of the most wretched, most evil, most corrupt, most oppressive Zionist regime of Israel, which is backed by the great Satan, the United States of America, and its cohorts, the collective West. While our hearts are in pain, our hearts are in grief, we are looking at what's transpiring in Palestine. Yet, we gather here to remember the Imam of our time, the Hujjah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is going to relieve all the oppressed, inshallah, from the clutches of the oppressors. So we celebrate tonight and this 15th of Shaban with heavy heart, realizing the oppression that is being committed on the oppressed people around the globe, which is not limited to the Palestinians. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the reappearance of the Imam of our age, with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Today we would like to raise three main questions in relation to our allegiance to the Imam of our time, the Imam of our age, Imam Mahdi alayhi salatu wassalam. The first question is that why is there a need to pledge allegiance with the Imam of our time? You know, we do something when we feel the need of doing that thing. What is the need of pledging that allegiance? This is the first question we will be dealing with, and we will take the theological approach to answer this question. The second question would be, why can't we just not pledge allegiance to no one and live a simple life? Why is this question of pledging allegiance or not to this party, to this side, to that side? Why can't we just live a normal life? We the Shias of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, what's wrong with it? Why can't we just live a simple life, right? So that's the second question. And the third question would be, what does it mean to pledge allegiance to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam today? While we're living in the time of occultation of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Generally, you would pledge allegiance to someone who's in front of you, who you have access to. He's talking to you, you are talking to him. Generally, that's how it works, right? But in the occultation of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, if we are talking about pledging allegiance to the Imam of the time, what does it entail? What does it mean? And this is where we will take the ideological approach. So the first question, again, we will take the theological approach to answer. The second question, we will take historical approach to answer. And the third one, inshallah, we will take the ideological approach to answer. If you understand these three questions and you're with me, please recite a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So the first question, again, why is there even a need to pledge allegiance to the Imam of the time, Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam? Let's turn towards Quran, the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Qasas, I believe, he says, وَنُرِيدُ أَنَّ مُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُزْعَفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّا وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ. The translation goes something like this, and we wish to bestow our favor upon those who have been made weak in the land and make them the imams and make them the inheritors. This is saying who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. So he talks about those who have been weakened in the earth, on this land. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa nuridu, that we have decided, we have done the irada, that we are going to make these oppressed people the heirs, the inheritors, and the imams on the earth, right? So this is the verse of the Holy Quran. I looked at the different tafsir of the Holy Quran regarding this verse. You know, if you try to look for the misdaq and the manifestation of who this verse is being related about and who is being the subject of this verse, you see that Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, according to their own interpretation of the Holy Quran, are the misdaqe atam of this verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the Holy Quran. And Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, he is that promised Messiah and Savior who is going to be the fulfillment of this irada and this promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is based on the tafsir of the Holy Quran, not just one tafsir, two tafsir or more. And when we look at the history, especially the history of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, those 250 years roughly, we see that the most oppressed, the most deprived, the most targeted, the most crushed were the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. History tells that to us, right? Again, keep in mind, we are trying to look at the question, why is there a need to even do this bayat and the allegiance to Imam of the time? We say, what happened, and this is the question, the first part of the verse, it says that they have been weakened, they have been oppressed. We know it happened when we look at the history. What happened with that promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It is still not fulfilled. The promise that he is going to make the oppressed the inheritors. Right? That promise is still up in the air. It is still pending. And undoubtedly, I want your attention over here. Undoubtedly, the materialization and the ultimate materialization of this promise and this irada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the global governance system of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. That is the ultimate materialization of this promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the absolute and ultimate manifestation of this verse when Imam Mahdi alayhi salam comes and implements his global governance. We're clear up until here, right? We're on the same page. This is why we pray for his reappearance, that we want that perfect system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala implemented on the face of planet Earth. And this is why we say, Allahumma ajjal li waliyyika al-faraj. This is why we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say, Allahumma kulli waliyyika al-hujjat ibn al-hasan, and so on and so forth, right? All of these du'as are because we know and we realize that Imam Zaman alayhi salam, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is going to materialize this very promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. Alhamdulillah, we understand it up until here. The question is, do we have a responsibility till the time that system gets implemented or not? When you look at Shia scholarship throughout the history, you see that there are different opinions and views. You can say generally everybody, almost everybody, they say, all of the Shia scholarship, they say that yes, there is a responsibility. But when it comes to defining that responsibility, there are differences of opinion. Some say your responsibility is just limited to self-building. That's it. Just don't do haram, right? Perform your wajibat and that's about it. You don't need to worry about anything else. I'm just giving a few examples, and this is not the main topic, so we're not going to stay on this for too long. The other group says that no, in addition to your self-building, your wajibat and muharramat, you do these three, four other things too, some mustahabbat. Recite the du'as, for instance, recite the nawafil prayers, for instance, you know, and this is all good. We're not downplaying it, don't get it wrong. We're not downplaying it. This is all good. This is based on the narrations of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam themselves. But they confine and limit your responsibility during this era to these four other things, which are mustahabbat. Khub. Then there's an extreme, which again we won't delve into. I'll just point out towards that. And that extreme is that since we know that when Imam comes, zulm is going to be at its peak. Fahsha is going to be at its peak. So we need to actually let it grow. You know, this is a deviant understanding of intazar of Imam Zaman alayhi salam. They go to an extreme where they say we should participate in this to hasten the reappearance. And zahiran, they're all ulama. Zahiran, they're wearing the same clothing, right? Imam Khomeini rizwanullah ta'ala alayhi comes and he challenges all of these alternates and alternative versions and alternative approaches. Imam Khomeini rizwanullah ta'ala alayhi, based on Quran and Hadith, based on the seerah of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam and the instructions and commands of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, defines the responsibility of mu'mineen living in the time of the occultation. And he presents this maktab of Mahdawi. And this is, if you notice, Imam Khomeini called it what? Islam-e-Nawab-e-Muhammadi. Inshallah, if you have to recite salawat, please recite it together. So Imam Khomeini rizwanullah ta'ala alayhi called it Islam-e-Nawab-e-Muhammadi, and he said that we all have a wadifa, we all have a responsibility, we all have a duty. Nobody is off the hook, even during the time of the occultation of Imam Zaman alayhi salam. No faqih is off the hook, no marja is off the hook, no alim is off the hook, no muballigh is off the hook, no talabe is off the hook, no man is off the hook, no woman is off the hook. Nobody is off the hook. Everybody has a responsibility. And it's very well defined in Islam what each individual's responsibility is. We just need to find it out and perform it. You with me? This is something which Imam Khomeini did, which is different from all other contemporaries, or if you look at the recent history of tashayyu, nobody else was able to do it. And Imam Khomeini Rizwanullah ta'ala alayhi said that the biggest wazifa of the entire Muslim Ummah, especially the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, is to strive and struggle to come up with and build an Islamic government in the time of the occultation of Imam Zaman alayhi salam. Although an imperfect Islamic government, we know that the perfect governance is only of the infallible Imam. Even if it's imperfect, he said that this is the wazifa of the Ummah to step forward and perform it. Now, what is our responsibility again? We're not building no government here, right? So what is our responsibility? Let's quickly go towards this riwayat, which is from Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salam. Please recite a salawat. The riwayat goes like, وَعَنْ مُحَمَّدْ ابْنِ عُثْمَانَ الْعَمْرِي. So Uthman al-Amri is basically the second Naib Khas of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam during his minor occultation. You know that he had Nawab Arba, right? Most of your Hoza students, even the others, they know that there were four Nawab Khas, right? The special representatives of Imam Zaman alayhi salam during his minor occultation. So he's the second one out of them, and he is the Ravi of this riwayah. So you can imagine the authenticity, how authentic he would be in terms of what he's saying. Qala samitu abi. He says that I heard from my father, Yakulu. He said, Su'ila Abu Muhammad al-Hasan ibn Ali, that I asked Imam Askari alayhi salam, or it was asked from Imam Askari alayhi salam. وَأَنَا عِنْدَهُ عَنِ الْخَبَرِ. And at the time of this conversation, I was there next to the Imam, close to the Imam. أَلَّذِي رُوِيَا عَنْ أَبَائِهِ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامِ. And he was quoting from his ancestors. So Imam Askari alayhi salam is quoting from his ancestors, who are the infallible Imams. Okay? And then he says, أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ لَا تَخْلُو مِنْ حُجَّتِ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ جَمِيعِ خَلْقِهِ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. The earth is not going to be emptied of Allah's hujjah upon His creation till the day of Qiyamah. Who's saying it? Imam Askari alayhi salam is saying it, right? وَأَنَّ مَنْ مَاتَ وَلَمْ يَعْرِفْ إِمَامِ زَمَانِهِ مَاتَ مِيتَةً جَاهِلِيَّةً. And the one who dies without the ma'rifat of the Imam of his time, he died the death of jahiliyyah, ignorance. When we talk about the death of jahiliyyah, it equates to the death of kufr and shirk before Islam, right? So the Imam, the infallible, is saying that anybody who dies without the ma'rifah of the Imam of his time dies the death of jahiliyyah. Khayli harfe, right? Even if he is kalmagu, even if he is praying, even if he is fasting, even if he is doing hajj, even if he is taking care of many other wajibat of his life, if he dies without the ma'rifah of his Imam, according to Imam Askari alayhi salam, he dies the death of jahiliyyah. And by the way, this very tradition, it has been narrated from other Imams as well. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is someone I saw when I was looking at it. Even Prophet of Allah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this narration was quoted from, right? So it's not just Imam Askari alayhi salam saying. The narration continues. Faqila lahu yabna Rasulullah. And then he said, oh, it's the son of Rasulullah. Famanil hujjatu wal imamu ba'daka. Who is the Hujjah and Imam after you? He's asking Imam Askari alayhi salam. He said, Faqala ibni Muhammad huwa al-imamu wal-hujjatu ba'di. That he is my son, Muhammad. He is the Imam and Hujjah after me. So with name, Imam Askari alayhi salam is telling us that it is the Imam Mahdi alayhi salam who is to be followed, and who is the Imam, and he is the Hujjah. Then Imam continues, he says, فَمَمْ مَاتَ وَلَمْ يَعْرِفْهُ مَاتَ مِيتَةً جَاهِلِيَّةً. And anybody who dies without the ma'rifat of him, yani Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, has died the death of Jahiliyyah. The question, we know up until here, the question is, what is this ma'rifah that Imam is talking about? Is it knowing the name of the Imam of the age? Is it knowing the date of birth of the Imam of the age? It is knowing the name of the father and mother of the Imam of the age. It is knowing where he was born, in which year, which city. Brothers, even non-Muslims, they can get access to that information. Isn't that right? So what is that ma'rifah that Imam Askari alayhi salam is talking about, that without which, if anybody dies, they die the death of jahiliyyah? Brothers and sisters, this ma'rifah is to realize our responsibility in relation to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and the mission of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. This is what this ma'rifah is all about. Sometimes we read these ahadith very superficially, and we understand them very superficially. We feel that, yeah, if we just say Allahumma ajjalli waliyyak al-faraj, we have that ma'rifah. No, brothers and sisters, it is about us being responsible in relation to the Imam, and not just that. In addition to that, it has to be in relation to his movement. The movement of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam never died. That's why we say that our Imam is alive and his movement is alive. So the question is, what is his movement? What is his mission? What is he tasked to do? Because we need to find that out. It's part of that gaining the ma'rifah. What is the objective of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam? What is his goal? What is his aim? Correct? Let's turn towards this hadith where it is said, وَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ لَن تَنْكَزِي الْأَيَّامُ وَالْلَيَالِي حَتَّى يَبْعَثَ اللَّهُ رَجُلًا مِنْ أَهْلَ بَيْتِي يُوَاتِيُ إِسْمُهُ إِسْمِي يَمْلَأُهَا عَدْلًا وَقِسْتًا كَمَا مُلِئَتْ ظُلْمًا وَجَوْرًا. So we're trying to find out what the goal and aim of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is. According to this, Prophet of Allah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has clearly defined the purpose, the goal, the hadaf of Imam Zaman alayhi salam. It says, the days and nights will be extended till Allah sends a man from my Ahl Bayt, that his name is same as mine. And what will he do? Adlan wa qista. He will fill the earth with justice and equity. كَمَا مُلِعَتْ ظُلْمًا وَجَوْرًا. Just as it would be filled with oppression and injustice. So let me say this and allow me to say this. We have done the prelude. Now is the time that I make a statement. Brothers and sisters, for anyone who doesn't wish to die the death of ignorance, his responsibility is to break the shackles of silence and indifference and fight oppression and injustice. This is that real ma'rifah that has been desired from a true awaiter. This is where a mu'min pledges allegiance to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. It is not just an allegiance that is, oh Imam, I'm your follower. No, it is way more than that. We need to embrace the same goals that the Imam has. And this will make us the true awaiter. Intizar of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, some say, you know, is a feeling, a concept, an aqidah, right? A belief. Brothers and sisters, no. Waiting for Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, intizar of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, is not just an aqidah, not just a concept, not just something that we have in our minds. No, we have a hadith narrated from Imam Reza alayhi salam, that he narrates from Prophet of Allah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, "Afsalu a'mali ummati intazar faraj." The word of the hadith is afsalu a'mali ummati. So awaiting the imam is an amal according to the infallible. The infallible is saying that it's not an aqidah only, it is an amal. It is not just a concept. So we know that this intizar has to be active intizar, not a passive intizar. The intizar, the awaiting for the imam, that is accompanied with action, a plan of action, movement, taharruk, right? It cannot be something that makes us passive, puts us to sleep because the imam is in the occultation. So this imam is waiting for us to act so he can reappear. Please recite a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. This was the first question that we had to deal with tonight. And with the salawat, looks like the other two questions we shouldn't even try to deal with. Please recite a better salawat. So the second question is, why can't we just not pledge allegiance to no one and live a simple life? Why do we trouble ourselves with this question even? What is, like, you know, so special about this allegiance? Brothers and sisters, the answer, and the first statement is important. The answer is because there is no other option. Because for the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, there is no other option other than doing the bayt to the imam of the time. It is a deception of shaitan that opens up the door, this door, for the disbelievers, for the believers, that, oh, you don't have to take the sides. You don't have to, you know, invite the risk or embrace the risk. Play safe. Play neutral. Act neutral. You don't need to get involved between the fight between haq and batil. No. There are ways. Islam provides you the ways, according to them. It provides you these exit doors where you can be safe and be the best of the mu'mins. Brothers and sisters, this is what shaitan does. To take you out of the arena. This is the hadaf of shaitan. To make you inactive, to make you passive in terms of your responsibility towards Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and his movement. In the history of Islam, you know, let me ask you a few questions real quick. This whole playing safe, you know, not getting involved in the conflict, staying neutral or acting neutral, right? The question is, at the time of Ghadir, who did the silence of Khawas help? Just go back in history. The Khawas, they tried to play safe. They didn't want to mess with the authorities of that time. Isn't that right? They just wanted to have a normal life, you know, not take sides, not get involved in any conflict, especially if it's risky, if it's dangerous, if there are government agencies involved, if there are intelligence agencies involved, right? And at that time, we can't go too much into the history because of the lack of time, but you know it well, that people were scared for their lives. They did not accompany Imam Ali alayhi salam. Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha, she had to go to the doors of these khawas and these companions. And she asked for them to testify for Imam Ali alayhi salam. Some said, oh, we lost our memory. We don't remember. All sorts of excuses, right? So Ghadir is a prime example for us to know that we want to avoid risk when it comes to the fight between, battle between, and a war between haq and batil, then this is where we end up. The second question, Muslim bin Aqil. Hazrat Muslim bin Aqil, he was there. The apparent indifference of the Kufis got Muslim martyred. Isn't that what history tells us? Muslim bin Aqil wouldn't have been martyred If the alleged followers of Ahlul Bayt, they would have stayed with him. Muslim was martyred because of the negligence of those khawas who wanted to play safe. There may be other categories too. I'm not talking about them right now. Maybe they were truly confused. Just put that aside. But predominantly, those who wanted to play safe, they wanted to act neutral. They didn't want to side with Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam openly. They were the ones which was the predominant cause why Muslim was martyred. Karbala itself, brothers and sisters, those who did not accompany Imam Hussein alayhi salam in this divine struggle, who did they benefit at the end of the day? I don't care whether it was intentional or unintentional from their side. I don't care what was in their hearts. At the end of the day, they were not next to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They did not support his cause. They didn't become part of this conflict between Haq and Batil. Who did it benefit? Again, I'm not taking names. Again, you know, to make it more conceptual than people-oriented or personality-oriented. Who did they benefit? Their silence benefited the camp of Yazid. Their indifference benefited the camp of Yazid. Isn't that right? If we don't side with Haq, we will be strengthening the camp of Batil. This is how it works. And this is how it has worked in the past as well. Now, intentionally or unintentionally, you know, right now we're not talking about the intentions of individuals. If we do not side with Haq, we are going to be inevitably supporting and strengthening the Batil. It's as simple as that. And this equation holds true throughout the history. You go all the way to the first prophet. It's not something specific to our time. Even today, you know, to make it more relevant for us, even today, look at this battle between Haq and Batil. You look at Palestine and you look at the Zionist regime of Israel. Now, those countries, those organizations, those individuals, those, I don't know, personalities, the khawas, who are staying silent in this conflict between Haq and Batil, which is the Palestine and Israel, who is benefiting? Their silence is benefiting the Zionist regime of Israel. All of these huge groups, human rights organizations, them being silent about the oppression that is being committed on the Palestinians. Who is benefiting from it? So this formula holds true. It's like a cookie cutter. You put that formula anywhere and it'll give you the answer. Now, Imam Khamenei, Hafadahullah, he said, the Palestinians are standing against the world of disbelief, the world of the taghut, the world of arrogance, and against America. They aren't just facing the Zionist regime. This is January 3rd, 2024. You know, sometimes our people say, oh, I'm from, I don't know, whichever country. I'm from that country. It's Palestinians' issue. Brothers and sisters, Imam Khamenei is informing us that they are fighting the war against disbelief and kufr and shirk. It is not just a country versus a country. For beginners, you know, Israel is not even a country. We never recognized it. And we will never recognize it. And inshallah, it will be annihilated. Palestine, another statement of Imam Khamenei, he says, Palestine versus the oppressors of the world, Israel is not the main culprit. America is. Right? Now the question is, in this conflict, when somebody decides not to step in to the arena to fight against the Zionist regime, to oppose the Zionist regime, to be vocal against the Zionist regime, that person is in fact benefiting the Zionist regime of Israel. It's giving them a license to kill, to bombard, to destroy Palestine, correct? So even in today's time, this formula is applicable, right? It is the very nature of this battle between Haq and Batil. And even tomorrow, when we pass away from this world, we die, next generations will come, this formula will still be true. Whenever there is a fight between Haq and Batil, the option of not siding with either of the two is not even on the table. It does not exist. So having a normal life, you know, it is just a deception of shaitan. Please recite a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. If you recite a louder salawat, I'll finish up the point three, inshallah, quicker. The third question that we wanted to deal with is, what does it mean to pledge allegiance to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam today? Does it change my life in any way? Alhamdulillah, we live in times where certain facts and certain answers have become self-evident and badihi. You know, because alhamdulillah, the collective intellect of humanity, you know, arguably has raised and has grown. So alhamdulillah, many of these things, they're kind of, back in the day, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, you know, they were questions, but now a lot of us have answers to all of these things, alhamdulillah, right? So the question is, in today's time and age, what does it mean to pledge allegiance to Imam of the time, which we said is something inevitable for a Shia, for a follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Brothers and sisters, this is one of the salient features of the age that we're living in. In today's time, this is a question for each one of you to think and contemplate, and we'll answer it. In today's time, who is the one carrying the flag of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam's movement? This is a question each single one of us in this hall, let it be brothers or let it be the sisters, we should ask ourselves with all honesty. You know, don't take any sides because we are living here or we have to go there, you know, whatever. You know, don't think about all of these variables. Just honestly, based on your observation, based on your understanding of whatever is transpiring in the world today, who is the one carrying the flag of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam's movement in this period of occultation? We all have a very clear answer. We all know what it comes down to. Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei on January 9th, 2022 says, the Islamic Republic's government is an Islamic government and its flag is the flag of Shiaism. To the government, the system of the Islamic Republic, he's saying its flag is the flag of Shiaism. He didn't say it's the flag of Iran. He said it's the flag of Shiaism. He equated the two here. We need to understand these realities on ground. Otherwise, we are going to be behind. The movement is moving forward, brothers and sisters. The sooner we understand it, the better off we will be. In one place, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei says, Imruz, agar Iran sili khord, Islam sili khahat khord. That's verbatim his statement. Today, if Iran is slapped, Islam will be slapped. That's his statement. Do you think he's saying something non-serious? Is it like a poetry contest? Na'udhu billah. He is one of the most responsible speakers that we have witnessed in our lifetimes, brothers and sisters. He is explaining a reality to us. When Haj Qasim, he says that Jamhuri-e-Islami haramast, he means it, brothers and sisters. It's not mubalighe. It's not exaggeration. These people are not non-serious people who just make exaggerations. They believe what they're saying and they take responsibility of what they're saying. We need to start adding up these variables in the equation and try to see where we stand, where our understanding is, what our role is as an individual, as a group of people, as an organization, so on and so forth, as a family unit. Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, in another place, he says, September 3rd, 2022, the flag of the Islamic Republic is the same flag that the divinely appointed prophets and imams carried. Harf bishtar azin. What do we want him to say, honestly? And when we talk about Wilayat-e-Faqih Jahani, you know, people are like, no, you know, it's Wilayat-e-Faqih is good, but it's for Iranians. What Rahbar is saying is for Iranians. Agha, do we have anything to do with prophets and imams or not? How in the world do we have this audacity to confine what Imam Khamenei is saying just to the Iranians who gave us this license? While there is no Karina, while there is nothing of that sort in a statement, just because his statement is something that if we echo is going to get us in trouble, we say, oh, it's just for Iranians or Iraqis or just for this region. Would we have done something different back in the day with Imam Hussein alayhi salam? What makes us think if we were present in that time, we would have acted any different? Especially the Hoza students here, brothers, with all due respect, we have read those historical accounts and historical narrations where we know that the ashab of imams, they were tortured. And all the while, imams were all safe. You know, for instance, Abu Zar Ghaffari, Hazrat Abu Zar Ghaffari, Rizwanullah Ta'ala alayhi salam, he is being exiled towards Rabaza, correct? Where is Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam Hassan alayhi salam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam? They were not being exiled. We're looking at ashab who had the level of conviction where they would not turn around and tell the wali of their time, Agha, you are safe, why should I take risk? But unfortunately, today, when we discuss these things, there are some who say, oh, Rahbar is saying because he's sitting in Iran, Sipah is protecting it, and I don't know, all the armed forces are protecting it. So Rahbar can say it, but because we have to travel, we're not going to say Haq. We're not going to side with Haq. That's our istidlal, right? That's our logic. I don't know which mantiq we study, honestly, like. We need to be very clear in terms of this divine movement of tashayyu. If we can't take it, we should just leave it. Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, he says, please recite the salawat. Imam Khamenei in that same speech says, and this is the last statement I'm reading, this flag of the Islamic Republic is the same flag. It is the flag of the Imams alayhimus salam. It is the flag of the Prophets alayhimus salam. And this flag has only these two words on it, justice and spirituality. Today, pledging, brothers and sisters, I'm coming to an end, and this is the crux. If we take this with us to our home and we contemplate it, inshallah, digest it, understand it, realize it, and if it makes us do something for the cause, inshallah, tonight's gathering is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we're not able to understand this, then honestly, we came and did ziyarah of some mu'mineen and left. Please recite the salawat, which is not too bad. Brothers and sisters, today, pledging allegiance to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, translates to pledging allegiance on the hand of the deputy of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. That is Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Today, pledging allegiance to Imam al-Mahdi is pledging allegiance to the system of Wilayatul Faqih. According to Imam Khomeini, Wilayatul Faqih, Haman Wilayatul Rasulullah. This Wilayatul Faqih is that very wilaya of Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no difference in terms of its tashri'i implications. We're not talking about the takwini part right now. Some say that, how can you even say that? Because he's not ma'soom. Wali faqih is not the ma'soom. We have heard this objection, right? While Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is ma'soom. So how did you say that the wilaya of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam in tashri'i realm, it equates to the wilaya of faqih in tashri'i realm? Isn't that right? Well, we would say the same thing about Muslim bin Aqil then. Brothers and sisters, Hazrat Muslim bin Aqil was not ma'soom in the traditional sense of the word. Isn't that right? But over there, we expect all the Kufis to submit unconditionally to Hazrat Muslim bin Aqil. Why? Because he is the deputy of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Why in the world do we not stick to our own formulas? The same formula applies here. And if I go even a step further, you know, this was not something I was planning to say, but I'll just say it and move on. In that time, Imam Hussein alayhi salam did not assign a Majlis e Khibragan or a group of scholars who are supposed to, or a group of ashab who are supposed to scrutinize Hazrat Muslim bin Aqil every step of the way. Isn't that right? At least we don't see any of those narrations, correct? Today, alhamdulillah, there is a process in place that the moment Waliul Faqih, na'udhu billah min zalik, is going to be derailed, there's a process in place to defend and protect and take care of the Islamic system. Yet, some of those ashrar, they try to deceive others. They try to make others doubt the validity of Waliul Faqih. How shameful it is. And in some cases, they are wearing the same libas. How shameful. Even after 40 plus years, brothers and sisters, the Nizam for some is still not clear. The barakat of Nizam, 40 plus years, the sacrifices of hundreds of thousands of shuhada, just in Difa'i Muqaddas, it's like 300,000, if I'm not mistaken. Look at the Difa of Haram. You know, even if you just look at, I was looking at these websites about the Quran and the portals that the Islamic Republic and the Islamic system has created about Quran and Hadith, the iNur series. This is amazing. Without a government, you wouldn't have been able to do that. You were not able to do that in the history. Alhamdulillah, the barakat of the Islamic system are uncountable. And this is not the topic for tonight. Inshallah, we will deal with it some other time. Please recite as salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So just a summary and the conclusion. The infallible Imam is the Hujjah. We know that. And in his absence, in his occultation, his deputy holds the same Hujjiyat upon the people. Don't let anyone confuse you on this core belief of Shia Islam. The summary is, we talked about three questions. The first one is, why is there a need to pledge allegiance to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam? We took the theological approach and we said that in the light of Shia theology, if we don't wish to die the death of Jahiliyyah, we must pledge allegiance to the Imam of the age. That's the first question's conclusion. Those who came in a little bit late, inshallah, you can watch the video if you're interested. The second question we raised was, why can't we just not pledge allegiance to no one and live a simple life? And we took the historical approach, we analyzed history, and we said, history tells us that this is not an option. Those whose allegiance is not with the Imam of their time end up benefiting and strengthening the anti-Islam camp. The third question we raised is, what does it mean to pledge allegiance to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam in today's time and age? And does it change my life in any way? We took the ideological approach to answer this question and we said, pledging allegiance to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam while he is in occultation means pledging allegiance to his deputy, the Waliul Faqih, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, Hafadahullah. Please recite a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. I think the best dua for tonight is, inshallah, the dua for the safety of Imam Zaman alayhi salam and for hastening his reappearance, inshallah. So I would like to request each one of you to together raise your hands in the air and let's pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the Imam of our time and hasten his reappearance. Let's recite this dua together. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Please recite aloud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.